Good afternoon. I think it's 5. Anybody have a different time? Good? Groovy. Hi. Welcome to Build. You guys having fun? It's awful mediocre. You guys having fun? I am going to be talking to you today about two of my favorite topics, and I'm going to work in my favorite topic. Windows Azure websites and Service Bus, and my favorite topic, SignalR. Now, I'm not going to have a whole bunch of SignalR stuff. Anybody go to Damien's SignalR love? Okay, good. So you already know how to use SignalR, because this particular conversation is going to be outside the scope of learning the ins and outs of SignalR. Damien and I do a lot of presentations on SignalR. It's kind of one of those things that's almost like a, makes everything look like a nail. You know, you always want to figure out a way to use it, kind of like XML was about 27 years ago. Okay. But I'm going to talk to you today about websites. I'm going to talk to you about Service Bus. But before I get started with that, you guys spent a lot of money to be here. Some of you had very frustrating flights, I presume, getting here, the fog and whatnot. So I want to set the stage, and I want you to make sure that you're in the right place, because I'd rather you go somewhere that's more appropriate for what you need at work or in your own stuff than be here and waste your time. So for those of you that are like very, very, very new to websites, like extremely new to websites, this is not going to be a Hello World websites talk. This is not going to be a Websites 100 level talk. Okay? I just want to set that stage. It's also not going to be a deep dive into Service Bus. Okay? It's kind of right in the middle. The websites guys like to say it's kind of a complicated talk, and the Service Bus guys like to say it's kind of an easy talk. So it's kind of in that middle ground. What I want to do here today is to kind of carry on with one of the messages that Satya mentioned this morning, and that was when he talked about how websites is enterprise class, web scale. It's not just for, you know, toys. Okay, websites is definitely not a toy, and we'll get to that in a second. It's totally ready to be your enterprise-grade web hosting solution. And I'm going to show you kind of how to get started connecting a Windows Azure website, which you know has infinite scaling possibilities, to your on-premise environment. Some of you might work in places that don't want to put all of your data in the cloud. Some of you might work in places that already has a middle tier. Some of you might work in places that has some sort of compliancy guidelines. And you can't move everything up to the cloud. But you do have a couple of websites. And you don't like to maintain all those servers yourself. And it stands to reason that you might be able to move only your website or components of your website into the cloud to get all that wonderful scaling stuff and actually save your data back into your on-premise environment without having to do things like punch holes in your firewall, open up an API that your website can talk to, and so on and so forth. Okay, so I'm going to show you kind of how to get started with that stuff today in this talk. I just wanted to set the stage so that if you wanted to see kind of a file, new project, websites experience, this ain't where you want to be. All right? I'll give everybody a second to leave. Good. Thanks for sticking around. All right. Might help to be a little more fluent in who I am. Those Uber geeks in the room will probably start to giggle in a second when you figure out how the code on the board is written. It's kind of fluent. All right, just want you to know who you're dealing with. My name is Brady Gaster. You can find me mainly on Twitter. My handle is Brady Gaster, no spaces. I have a weblog. I'm showing my age by calling it a weblog. BradyGaster.com. On that site, I talk about things like Windows Azure website, SignalR, web API, and from time to time, I'll throw out a little bit of Service Bus, and when I'm feeling really brave, I'll do some Kinect programming. Okay, I also like playing with robots, but I don't ever blog about that because then I would absolutely show my idiocy at the topic. I have a wife named Gina, I have 2 boys, I have 2 dogs, I have 2 guitars, neither of which I really get to play because I have a job, a wife, 2 kids, and 2 dogs. All right, so just want to point that out. I also want to show you one other thing that I do with my buddy Corey Fowler. Corey and I are the hosts of a show called Webcamps TV on Channel 9. And on that show, we talk about things near and dear to web developers' hearts. We talk a lot about Windows Azure websites, we want people to get on it. So, you know, we talk a lot about websites. We talk about all these different things. We go around and we interview the ASP.NET team. Corey does a lot of stuff, as you can see, with the Microsoft Open Technologies Group. Corey's giving at least one talk here this week. I highly recommend that you go to it, especially if you like the idea of doing continuous deployment and you like the idea of being able to have Azure scale with your websites, because he's going to be talking about how you can achieve that stuff. Kind of have a lot of ground to cover today in this talk, so I'm going to start moving a little bit quick, about halfway through it. But one of the things that I want to say is, if you could, please hold your questions until the end, and I'll stick around and answer any questions that you have. But I may answer your question after you ask it, so let's just like hang out until the end, and I'll ask. You know, I'll give you the chance to ask questions. I don't know if I'll be able to fill 60 minutes with this, because I've kind of condensed it so that we would have time for questions. And again, now you know how to get in touch with me. Feel free to take a picture. Twitter is definitely the best way. I'm there all the time. Some would say it's an addiction. All right, so I am there, so feel free to get in touch with me, and you can email me. If you email me and you have a question about, I don't know, something like VMs, I'm more of a web guy, so I'm probably not going to have the answer, but I'm probably going to know somebody who does. So if you have any questions about Azure stuff, ASP.NET, WebAPI, SignalR, especially SignalR, feel free to get in touch with me, and I'll answer your question or direct you to somebody who does have it. So there's all my contact stuff. All right. Now, this is in quotes for a reason. There's a wonderful man named Nir Mashkowski. Nir Mashkowski is the, I guess, PPM, or I'm not really sure what his title is. He recently got a promotion, so that's a good thing. But Nir is over the websites team. This is kind of like his domain. Well, Nir and I have meetings pretty frequently, and one of the things he told me, he says, everybody thinks that websites is a toy. Everybody thinks that you can only do this or you can only do that. We want them to know that this is enterprise class. Please tell the community. I said, okay, let me do that. So the first thing I want to do is to clear up a couple of myths about what Windows Azure Websites is not. Okay, here's what it's not. And these are all the things that people think about websites when they first hear about it. Oh, well, it's great if you want a WordPress blog. It's great if you've got a static site. It's great if you're open source or you're getting started or, you know, whatever. One of those is true. It is great if you're getting startup. You know, if you're getting started, if you're a startup company, because you can get started for what? Free. And then you can scale up and down whenever you need to. And as you saw during the keynote today, you can even set up auto-scaling now. So if you have a Woot.com kind of situation where you don't want your site to crash when you have a huge sale, just let it infinitely scale. Go crazy. So I do want to point out that all of these things are patently untrue. These things are absolutely false. Websites is not a toy. It's not just for playtime. My colleague and I, Donovan, are going to be giving a talk tomorrow on how you can build apps for Office using Windows Azure Websites. You might know that apps for Office, new programming model, is what? It's HTML and JavaScript. So we're going to be talking tomorrow about how you can do apps for Office and apps for SharePoint on this platform. So I'm going to talk a lot about that tomorrow as well. But that should tell you that it's definitely not a toy. It's more of a tool. Websites is a tool to help you build your enterprise. And I'm going to show you how to do that today. I'm going to build an enterprise app in here today. All right. Now, the enterprise app that we're going to build in here today, I'll give you a scenario. It's called Enterprise Pizza. Okay, I came up with this idea. I was hanging out with some buddies a couple of holidays ago. And it was kind of late at night, and we were like kind of hungry. We were talking, we were talking about ASP.NET because we all work at Microsoft and that's what we do in our spare time. We eat pizza and talk about ASP.NET and web programming. And I said, hey, I have this talk and I don't want to do one of those bit-pushing talks. I don't want to do an enterprise talk. I want to do something that'll kind of pique people's interest. I want to do something that people can relate to. Everybody likes pizza, right? Right? So I figured I would do a talk on pizza and it kind of makes sense. Now, let's say Enterprise Pizza comes to you, and they say, hey, we have this solution that we need done. We need this new website built, and we need this website to basically deal with all of our multiple locations and with our corporate office. Sounds like an enterprise app, right? A little bit more fun than just pushing data around. Everybody likes pizza. It's 5 o'clock. Everybody's hungry. You want to get out of here. All right? So here's the deal. Customer is going to order pizza from the website. I didn't add any geo into this. In one of the later incantations of this talk, I'm going to add geo to it. So I'll have multiple stores, and I'll figure out like where you are and which store to go to, so it's a little bit more realistic. But for now, let's say Enterprise Pizza is kind of a startup. They've only got one parlor. We only got one pizza parlor. So customer orders pizza from the website, and the first thing that needs to happen is the corporate enterprise needs to save that order, right? Corporate enterprise needs to know that that order came through. Why? They might want to charge you for it. They might want to have a record of all the pizzas that get ordered, et cetera, and so forth. Does that make sense? Next thing that'll happen is, once it's processed by the central office, the pizza parlor needs to know what pizza to make. Does it sound like some of your typical enterprise apps that you've built? We have multiple locations. It has to communicate securely, blah, blah, blah. We have to do one thing before we do another thing, and those things are in different planets. All right? So that's one piece of the requirement. Second piece of the requirement is, I want the customer to know in real time, ding, 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 you know where that comes in, right? Signal all. Okay, I want the customer to know in real time what the status of their pizza is. If they order a pizza, they're going to be hungry. Yeah, there are some other vendors out there that do this. Yes, we stole the idea from that. Okay, I just want to point that out. All right, now in addition to that, and this is where things get tricky, pretty good chance we're going to run out of bacon because I order a lot of pizza with bacon on it. Or if my wife's involved, then we order a lot of pizza that has pineapples and jalapenos on it. Okay, so we need to basically know when the pizza parlor is out of bacon. When's Brady's pizza parlor out of bacon? Because we know he's going to order pizza during football day. All right, so we need to know that. And most importantly, we need to reflect on the website that somebody is, that we're out of bacon or we're out of pepperoni and you're not going to be able to order it. Because if we let you order it and we don't have it, you're going to be mad. Okay, but we have to communicate that to two places. We have to let the central office know, hey, we're out of anchovies. You need to ship us some anchovies tomorrow. And we need to tell the website we're out of anchovies so that nobody can order it, and we can put the little out of stock, you know, bang on that item on the website. Now, for the sake of this demo, I can go ahead and tell you I'm not that artistic. So we're going to have square pizzas. You ever try to make a data-bound circle in XAML? It's easier now, but I'm still not great at it. So we're going to have square pizzas. So just pretend, what is it, Sicilian style or something like that? All right. So here's the first piece of the puzzle. Here's how we're going to solve the first piece of that puzzle. Now remember our overarching requirement set. This is everything that we have to build. So we're going to build this a piece at a time. I've got four or five demos that I'm going to show you today, and then I'm going to kind of switch gears and talk a little bit about Windows Azure Active Directory. I'm not going to go too deep into that because that's Vittorio's department. So I'm not going to get too crazy with that. But I am going to show you how you can do that stuff using websites and basically authenticate in some other places. But first I want to show you how to use Service Bus to create a hybrid cloud situation that can interface with your own, you know, enterprise. So the first step is we're going to use a Service Bus topic for publish subscribe. You guys know publish subscribe? Okay, cool. Now, the first thing we're going to do here is the pizza parlor and the corporate enterprise are both going to subscribe to a service bus topic. They're both going to say, hey, whenever you get a message that comes to you, I want it, I'm going to grab that message. Now, this is similar to queuing, with the exception of the fact that you don't have to spin every 10 seconds. You don't have to check the queue. You subscribe to the service bus topic, and when a message gets in it, the service bus will send it down to you. So these are the first two steps that are going to happen. The corporate enterprise and the pizza parlor are going to subscribe to that topic, and then the website is going to get a new order. The website is going to push that order into the database, into the corporate database, because it's going to basically the message is going to get published into the service bus topic, and then the corporate enterprise is going to grab that message out of the topic. It's going to save it to the order archive database. Then it's going to publish it back to that topic. But it's going to change a couple of things about it. It's going to say, hey, we got the order. We build the credit card. Now you guys make the pizza. It's going to publish that message back into the topic. Then the pizza parlor is going to get that message and show the people that work in the pizza parlor what pizza they need to make. Is this kind of making sense? It's silly, but you ever seen an application like this in the past? Have you guys ever done enterprise apps like this in the past? Multiple locations? I'm doing this because I'm actually interested in your answer. Cool. Thank you. All right. So here's the first demo. We're going to do pub sub using service bus topics. I'm going to guess. Is that me? Yeah. Of course it would shut down. All right, so there we go. There's the webcams thing again. And you'll see that this is my Windows Azure portal, and I've just got a couple of stuff up in here, a couple of things up in here. But the one that we're going to jump on first is going to be this service bus guy. So I'm going to click on the service bus here, and you'll see that I have my Enterprise Pizza service bus namespace. So I'm going to click on this, and you'll see that right now I really only have one thing in here, and that is my topic. That is my service bus topic. Now, there's a bunch of components of service bus. Anybody use service bus yet? Okay, cool. Some of this may be down here for you, but I'll try to make it fun. Okay. So we're going to subscribe to that topic, and we're going to use something called a SQL filter. I'm going to basically say, whenever you get a message, look at that message for these particular properties, and if it's marked as taken but not made, send it to the store. Whenever it's marked as taken and not made, process it, and then we mark it as processed and put it back in. We put it back into the topic, and then the store picks it up. So what I've done is, like I said, I've divided this up into a couple of different demos here. So I'm going to go ahead and open this guy up right now. And for the sake of the demos, I'm going to run most of this locally for the time being. I'm going to walk through the code and kind of show you the different components. Hopefully you can relate it to your own enterprise apps. And I'm going to run some of the stuff locally. And then just to prove to you that it really does work, I'm going to run it out in Windows Azure websites. But I don't want to go through the process of publishing this out every time. The last demo, when we kind of roll everything up together, I'm actually going to run that out in Windows Azure website, so you'll see that I'm really not bluffing, and it is coming back and talking to us on-prem. So what I've got here, I've got a couple of different projects. And the first one that I'll open up here is my domain project. Back row, is that okay? Cool. So I'm going to shrink this down just so you can kind of see our models here. And I've got a couple of models, pizza order. What I'll do to make it a little bit more logical is I open up the object browser, and I'll go over here to my domain guy. You can see that we have these individual objects. So I've got my list of ingredients, the ingredient that somebody selected. I went a little bit crazy in my ORM model, as I usually do. I've got a pizza order. One pizza order can have N pizzas, and a pizza can have N sections. My wife doesn't like onions, so you got to get the onions on one half. Okay? So you guys understand this data model so far? And all these entities basically relate to one another. Now, I've done this in an EF model series, which is in my domain guy right here. And then I've also got this project here that's my data access layer. And you can see right here, it's really not that complicated. I basically just wire up my enterprise pizza data context guy, and I give it DB sets for all those different entity types. Okay, so it's not very complicated. Entity framework users in the audience? So this isn't rocket science to you. You've kind of gotten this so far, okay? Good. Good to hear. Now, just to show you that I've already genned that database, I'm running locally right here. You can see here's Brady G506. That's this computer. So what I'll do right here is I'll just hit F5, and you'll see we have nothing in the database except for I've run my seed functionality, and I've seeded the database with all the ingredients that I need. So this is kind of the database that you can imagine running in the enterprise environment, in the enterprise pizza fortress. Okay? Anybody want to take a stab at what you would need on the website if you truly were disconnected? What's the only table that you need on the website? Anyone? The list of ingredients. That's really the only table that you would need. Think about it like this. If you don't need to save all those orders in the database that runs in the cloud, or if you're not allowed to save those orders in the database that's in the cloud, you can split your database down the middle. And you can put only what the website needs out into Azure, and then you can keep the rest of it in your enterprise environment and do whatever you want. You could even add another database that might live inside the pizza parlor so that whenever somebody submits an order, they can kind of keep track of like how long it takes them to make the pizza. Does that sort of make sense? You guys know what that's called? There's a couple different terms for it, but my favorite term is a data mart. You basically put the data in the cloud that you need to run your site, you keep the rest in your enterprise environment. Does that kind of make sense? Now, I'm not going to go through that today, but you can kind of imagine. You really just need to change that data context, have two data context projects, push one, hide the other. Right? So you'll see I don't have any data in my database. I'm not doing any Doug Henning magic here. And moving right along, you'll see that I have this web project here. And in this web project, I've really just got one controller. I'll call it home controller. And in this guy, I've got an index view. It's really just is going to show you a button that says generate random order, because I didn't want to do all the GUI and make you laugh at my horrible GUI skills. So I've got the create random order guy right here. And really, it just comes up with a client ID. We'll be using that later on in the real-time update. And it's just going to create a random number of pizzas and add them to a pizza order. And then at the very bottom, it's just going to save that. And the way it's going to save that is, if I can close this guy, is in this sample order page, which you'll see right here is I create the random order. And then I'm going to use JSON.NET to serialize that order into a JSON object. Pretty easy. Anybody using JSON.NET out there? Anybody using ASP.NET MVC or SignalR or Web API? Because those of you whose hands went up in those last couple categories, guess what? You're using JSON.NET. That's our JSON serialization engine. Okay, it's really awesome. Because you can do things like this. Now, I've got a helper class in here that I'm going to show you. And the reason that I've got that is I didn't want to take an extremely deep dive into all the ins and outs. I just want to show you how to connect this stuff together. So I've got this utility class called Service Bus Topic Helper. And it's got pretty much two main methods on it. What do you think they are? Publish and subscribe. Okay, and remember that fluent introduction that I did earlier? I'm kind of a nut for fluent coding. So I've made it sort of a fluent syntax. So the first thing that I do is I set it up. And this guy, if I go to definition here, really all this guy is going to do is it's going to read three different keys from my config file, and it's going to wire up that service bus connection. So if I were to go over here to infrastructure, you'll see this infrastructure project over here. That's kind of where all of our stuff lives. If I were to shrink this, you'll kind of see kind of what's going on. So I do setup, and I return an instance of the helper. And then I've got a subscribe method. And down here, I've got a publish method of type T. Now, this is a utility class used for demo purposes. I've made this into a NuGet package, and some other people have used it in their places of work. I'm not trying to tell you that this is the end-all, be-all, like publish, subscribe on service bus topic class. It probably would make Clemens angry. But for the purpose of the demonstration, it'll show you kind of how you can publish and subscribe messages back and forth to the service bus. We could walk through that code if you wanted to, but just trust me, the idea here is we want to throw messages in and get messages out. He's seen it, and he hasn't gotten mad at me yet, so hopefully we're doing all right. Now, what you'll see in here is right before I publish that message over to the service bus, I set a couple of properties on that message. Now, that's a brokered message that I'm passing it in right there, and that's a service bus concept. It's basically just the message that we're actually going to throw up into the cloud, right? And I'm going to set two properties on here, isOrdered and isReceivedByStore. I'm going to set both of those to false. The idea there is we want the corporate app to get everything, do its work, and party. Okay? And then I've got this guy right here. This is old code. Probably get rid of that. So in this last step, what I'm doing is I'm actually just setting the client ID equal to the random GUID that I created earlier. The idea behind that is later on, when I want to update the client, when I want to update the browser, on what the status of the pizza order is, I want to have a way to pick that client versus other clients. So I'm going to only tell you that your pizza is on the way. I don't want to tell you and you and you and you that your pizza is on the way. So it's just a way of identifying one guy from another. Okay? And then I just return the view. So that's my MVC guy. We're not going to go too deep into that from now on because that's pretty much all it is. On the website, that's just about all you need. Now, if I scroll up here to the very top, what you're going to see is that I'm newing up an instance of that enterprise pizza data context. And one of the things that I'm doing is here, I'm actually getting a list of ingredients back from that database. Now, like we said before, this is really the only table that the website needs to run. Pretty easy. All right. Now, next step is I've got this internal worker app that you can kind of imagine as the corporate app. Now, it's going to subscribe to that service bus topic, and I'll show you how that works. I new up an instance of that service bus helper. Then I call the subscribe method, tell it what I'm subscribing to. Now this is, We're going to get to this in a second, but this is the corporate app saving the data into the database. Now, again, you might want to split that out into two different databases, one for the cloud and one for the on-prem, but you know, we're just going to do it all in one right here. I'm going to save that order to the database using my EF context, and now I'm going to set the property so that I can save that to the database as true, and then I'm going to set these two properties on that service bus message accordingly. Is ordered is true, and is received by store is false. Now you'll see right down here, one of the arguments that I'm going to pass into this subscribe method is the SQL filter string. And that string is basically just a SQL statement. We're basically just saying whenever those two properties are that way, do something with it. And you'll see what I'm doing right there. I'm setting those two properties, and those two properties are the ones that I'm setting up in my filter. Those two things are married. When I began with Service Bus, I had about 6 hours of frustration because I kept thinking to myself, it should just inspect the object that I'm serializing and throw in, and it should know what to do. That's not the case. You actually have to explicitly set the properties on the brokered message to be able to use the SQL filter. You're nodding. I assume you've also had the 6 hours of pain. Okay. It's not fun. It seems less intuitive that way. But once you do this, it makes more sense. Oh, it's a property on the message. Duh. So I just want to point out that we're setting up a SQL filter. Now, the last app, and this is my ugly XAML app, pardon me, is this guy is going to do the same thing. And he's actually subscribing in a different way. He's saying, give me everything, he's saying, give me everything that's been ordered and that hasn't been received by the store. So the first guy is both false, and this guy is true and false. So whenever he gets a message, he's going to get a message out of there, and he's going to call the addOrderToView method. And the two relevant lines of code are right here. This one I'll explain in just a second. Have you ever written Windows apps in the past, WPF apps? You run something that takes a little while, the thread comes back, you try to update the GUI, and you get a Gandalf, thou shall not pass. And it says, I can't do this because you're trying to update the GUI on a different thread than the thing that came back. You guys know about that? You ever seen this pain? That first line of code, dispatcher.invokeAsync, that's all that is. That's a way of me calling this to update the GUI on a different thread. So, all that being said, I am just going to hit F5 here, and you'll see that all three of these applications are going to start up. Cross fingers for me. So I've got a website running in the cloud. I've got a service running in the corporate enterprise, and I've got an application running in the pizza parlor to tell the pizza makers what kind of pizza they need to make. All right, so I'm going to get it so that you can see everything. You can see that this guy has subscribed to the service bus topic. This guy has too, in a different way. I'm just going to fire off a sample order. And that's actually going to throw that message up into the cloud. You saw what happened. The first thing that happened was I got the pizza in the corporate office. After I got the pizza in the corporate office, I sent another message back up into the cloud to tell the people to make the pizza. And I got my square pizza UX right here. Now let's see this. This is actually saved to the database. So you've actually, this is kind of my master view of everything here, so just forgive my SQL skills. So what I'll do here is I'll just delete all that, because you can see, indeed, at this point, we have saved data to the on-prem database from the cloud. Okay? So all that being said, I'm going to move right along. Maybe. Okay, there we go. All right, so that's the first step. Now what's wrong with this scenario? What's the problem with this scenario? Now, when I showed you that app that's hanging out in the pizza parlor, there was something that it's doing that's not cool. It's actually querying the database, too. Now, the database is in the corporate enterprise. We don't want to have direct access to the database from all the different pizza parlors. Yeah, we could set up a VPN and blah, 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 but I mean, ultimately, we really don't want to have everybody being able to access the corporate database. We want to expose stuff through services, right? We want to expose this functionality through services so that we can control everything. Well, that's where we get into what's called Service Bus Relay. Anybody done anything with Service Bus Relay? Groovy. Like three guys. Perfect. Perfect audience for this. Okay, Service Bus Relay is a way for you to host a service. In this case, it's going to be a WCF service. if you like the idea of being able to do something like Service Bus Relay, but to use something like Web API or SOAP or something along those lines, let us know, because I think that would be pretty cool. And if you let us know, maybe it'll happen. Let us know, because I like Web API a lot, and I'd love to be able to do Web API and relays. Here's what we're going to do. The idea behind a relay is I'm going to host a WCF service in a process, in a web application, in an EXE, in a Windows Azure Worker role, somewhere, somehow. I'm going to host a WCF service, but I don't want you to know how to get to me. I don't want to open up some huge hole in my corporate firewall with a WCF service sitting on it. It would be really cool if I had a way to, I don't know, relay a message. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my endpoint for my service up in the cloud. So what ends up happening is my inventory service, I'm hosting it in my website, and I've got my site database. In my corporate enterprise, I'm going to actually pull the ingredients listing using my inventory service. And I'm going to basically make a request out to the service bus. I'm going to ask the service bus for, hey, call this message. Then the service bus is going to call that service that lives up in my website. That's going to go back to my database, and then the message is going to be relayed back to me in either environment from where I called it. So that's the idea behind a service bus relay. It's not that pie in the sky. It's, hey, I don't want to poke a hole in my firewall and tell you what my internal URL is. I want to put that URL in the cloud and let the cloud bounce that message back to me. Is that a good way to describe it? Think so? Okay, good. You're my QA for the rest of the day. All right, so that's how we're going to do that. Is it 8? Yeah, okay, cool. So I don't have any data in the database again here. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to back up one more time, and I'm going to open, not that one, I'm going to open up this second demo. Good. Okay. Now what I'm doing in this guy, you'll see that I've added one project here. Anybody done any WCF? Anybody? Any kind of WCF at all? Okay. It's not that intimidating. Don't freak out. It's really not that hard. I'm not that great at WCF, and I can do this. Okay. So I'm just going to walk through how this WCF functionality works. So I've got an inventory service here, and you'll see that I've marked that with my service contract attribute. Basically, that just says, hey, this interface, I intend on using this interface in a WCF capacity. I intend on putting this on the wire. I've also got these guys decorating my methods operation contract, and I was lazy. I didn't put all my serialization attributes on my model classes, but I'm one of those really obsessive guys that believes that if you have more than two parameters in a method, you make an object as your parameter for the method. Because once you have two, you're going to have 72. You guys seen this happen? Parameter creep? It's fun, huh? Okay, so I just like to make these objects to throw stuff around. All right, and you'll see that really all I've got here is ingredient name and is it available. And this guy's going to tell me whether or not it's available. Yeah, it's obsessive, but you know every decent programmer is. All right, and then what I'm going to do inside of my global ASAX file is I'm going to new up an instance of a WCF service host, and I'm going to host a class that implements that iInventory service in my website's context, and the type that I want to host is this website inventory service guy right over here, and I'll show you where that is. And this is pretty easy. Really what this guy is going to do, he's going to go against the ingredients database. Again, that's really the only thing that the Enterprise Pizza website needs is a list of ingredients and where we are with them. So it's going to basically make a call over there to get my ingredients list, and somebody somewhere is going to toggle the list of ingredients and whether they're in or they're out. Again, one day I'll add geo to this so we can toggle by store, but the idea here is that Parler wants to tell the central office whenever it runs out of bacon. It's very important, very crucial. All right? And then in my web config, I've got some stuff down here to basically wire up my service model. And what I want to show you right here is when you install the NuGet package for Windows Azure Service Bus, this is awesome. You don't have to know what types of endpoints you need to put into your config file because the NuGet gods do that for you. So all this stuff here, it basically is all the different ways that you can relay a message through Service Bus. And the one that I'm going to use is going to be net TCP relay binding. Okay, and then you can specify what port, and you can have like pretty much Uber control over that. All right. Now, I've added one piece of functionality to my order billboard application, and that piece of functionality is going to be basically a list of checkboxes. And that list of checkboxes is how I'm going to define whether or not I have any bacon, pepperoni, anchovies, or you know any of your favorite ingredients. And in this code, I'm going to show you real quickly. I've got this inventory service guy right here. I new up a channel factory and tell it what I expect to have. This is the code that we had in the past. And in this guy, I'm actually going to be calling out to the service bus to say, hey, I know that you've got an endpoint with this service type hanging out there. I want you to tell whoever hosts that service to give me some data. And if I were to look in my config file, is it in my config file? Yep, you'll see right here. I want to hide this real quick so you don't hack my service bus. But you'll see right there, there's my endpoint behavior. And that basically has my connection string to my service bus relay up in the cloud. All right. Now, just to give this a little bit of visual stuff, I'm going to show you right here. This is the Enterprise Pizza service bus namespace. I only have one thing in it. I only have a topic in it. Now, I've got to do these. I've got to start these projects separately. So you'll see that I have the web project set up to start first. Why do you think that is? Got to host my service. So now I've got to host my service so that all of my other offices can talk to that service. Now that the site has spun up, what's happened is I've created an instance of that inventory service implementation that I've got in my web project, and I've said the endpoint that I want it to use is going to be the net TCP relay endpoint, which is the service bus relay endpoint. So at that point, it reaches out to service bus and makes a connection to service bus, and it says, hey, I've got a service right here. You host it on this URL, so people call you, and then you're going to call me. That's the relay part of it. Sounds like it's going to be dog slow, right? All right. Before I move on with that, I want to flip back over to the portal here and look at there. See what's happening now? Now I've got a relay listed in there. So you can go to the portal at any point and you can see what relays you've activated. In this particular demo, we only have one, and that's the inventory service that's hosted by the website right here on my computer. You think about it, it's actually kind of on-prem to on-prem to on-prem until we push it up to the cloud, because I've got the website hosted locally. We're going to go up into the cloud and then come back down again. Okay. Now what I'll do is I'll flip back over to this guy, and I've got to do this individually. So I'm going to right-click and say debug. Now if you start doing this, this is kind of a neat way to do this. If you just hit F5 with all the projects set up, sometimes the clients are going to try to access that service bus relay before your website has actually hosted it. So you're going to spin around for a couple of hours wondering why it doesn't work. So what I would suggest is run the project that hosts your services, then run the projects that communicate with those services. Just make sure it's running first. And we've already hit that website. So I'm going to start a new instance of the internal worker app. This is the application that would be running inside of the corporate world at Enterprise Pizza headquarters. You'll see that it's subscribed to that topic. It's not doing a whole heck of a lot else. And I'm going to right-click this guy, say debug, start new instance, and that's the order billboard. Now, in this case, we're going to see a couple of little guys pop up over here. Now, I'm not going to submit an order yet. You've already seen it order successfully, so I'm not going to change that. But what I will show you here is what happens at the corporate office whenever I do this. Of course, that's going to happen now. It's not going to show you anything. Of course, that would transpire. But what's actually happening is if I were to go into my infrastructure guy right here, you're going to see that this is getting called. This method right here would be getting called whenever this stuff is running. And if I were to set a breakpoint inside of this guy, now remember, this is the website code. What I'll do over here is I'll turn off the bacon. You'll see there we go, right into that code. And I'll go back over here to my database and I'll hit F5. Look there. Now we've updated the database. Now that's the pizza parlor, or one of 150 pizza parlors, whenever Enterprise Pizza grows, telling the central office what they're out of so that the central office can send out the trucks. Does that make sense? Any logic? Any questions on that one? Okay, now let's make it a little bit more interesting. I'm going to go ahead and turn all the ingredients back on. Oh, there we go. Now, if I were to put a break point, if I were to actually start this application up again, or either one of those applications up again, whenever it starts, you're going to see that get ingredient list be called, because at this point, remember that slide a minute ago? What's wrong with this picture? Everybody has to have access to the database. Now only one guy has access to the database, and that's the website. The website's the only one that needs to have access to the inventory list. Okay? Moving right along. If I can go further. Now, in this case, we've shown you how to do relays so that you can relay up to the website through Service Bus. It's from a client on-prem. What if we need to relay to both places? Now, at this point, we haven't told the corporate office. We haven't seen anything in the corporate office that says, hey, store number 347 is out of bacon, and Brady's going to be mad. All right? So how do we do that? No bacon. An employee flags an ingredient as being out of stock, and we already done this part. We're going to update the website and update the database, but now we're going to do a second part. We're going to call a service hosted inside the corporate, you know, application. We're going to call something inside the Enterprise Pizza corporate headquarters, and then we're going to notify a user. Dude, store number 342 is out of bacon. We're going to let an admin somewhere know that he needs to send out the trucks. So now we're going to host a service implementation of that iInventory service. We're going to host it in two places. We're going to host it in the website, and we're going to host it in our on-prem environment, and they're going to do different things. Just me? Okay, cool. All right, now let me close this guy down, and I want to open up the other demo. And this is where it might get kind of interesting. People might actually see some jigsaw puzzle starting to fit together. The only thing I'm going to pull up here just to show you that this is really kind of doing the same thing is now I've got this corporate office inventory service, and it's really not going to do a whole lot. I'm basically just saying, dude, they're out of pizza. Do something now. Like, do something right now. They're out of bacon, pardon me. So you need to do something. Now, in this case, whenever the pizza parlor guy marks an ingredient is out of stock, we're going to tell two guys. We're going to tell the website, and we're going to tell the corporate office, because this guy is actually going to host a service himself. You'll see right here, start the inventory service. That's exactly like we did before, but in this case, we're going to start our own implementation of the service, and he's going to have an endpoint out in Windows Azure as well. Now, if I go over here back to the portal, you'll see here, since I've shut down my web application, the relay has turned off. See that? The relay is no longer active in Service Bus. I've actually shut it down. So I'm going to go ahead and hit F5 here to start up the website. That's going to host inventory service A. Then I'm going to launch the corporate app. Debug, start new instance. And that's starting up the inventory service now. And now it's subscribing to the Service Bus topic. And now I'll go over here and I'll start up the order billboard. That's the guy working in the pizza parlor who wants to let me know that he's out of stuff. And I won't put a breakpoint here, but what I'll do is I'll just switch over to this guy. And I'll mark this as out of stock. I'll mark that as out of stock. Mark that as out of stock. And I'll mark that as in stock. And if you want to see the actual functionality, what I could do here, put a breakpoint on this guy, and I'll go into the web project, into the infrastructure guy, put a breakpoint on this, and just one more time, go back to the app, turn off sun-dried tomatoes. That's fine. Done that one, done that one. So that's the application hitting the Service Bus, and the Service Bus relaying that message to two different places simultaneously. And I'll flip back over here to the Service Bus. You'll see here now we've got two guys wired up right there. All right. Make sense? All right, now I'll shut all this down. Sorry about that. And as promised, or as you probably already know about me, I can't get off the stage without talking about SignalR. So this is actually when we're going to light up a little bit of SignalR and make this demo kind of interesting for the website user, for the actual web customer. Now, in this case, what's going to happen is the pizza parlor location is going to basically tell us our pizza is ready, or I'm putting the cheese on it, or it's left the building. And if you can get really creative with it, you can imagine a guy with a Windows Phone application running around, and every couple of seconds after he leaves the pizza parlor to deliver the pizza, maybe his application is pinging the service bus as well, so you can imagine a map on the website so you can actually see where the pizza guy is. It could be kind of neat, huh? I didn't have time for that. Sorry. All right. So in this case, we're going to send a message up to the website through the service bus relay, and then that's going to turn around, do some SignalR magic, and tell the client what the status of the pizza order is. Okay? Now again, I'm not going to go into an extreme deep dive on SignalR. I have a bunch of talks online if you want to see how to do that, as does Damien. Hopefully some of you attended Damien's demo from earlier. You might have seen him scaling out SignalR. By the way, one of the best ways to scale out SignalR is service bus. You can actually reach massive web scale with your SignalR hubs if you use the service bus endpoint and basically create a backplane behind all of your SignalR hubs. It's insanely fast, hundreds of thousands of simultaneously connected users all at the same time. All right, anybody play with SignalR again, just out of curiosity? Okay, good. So this won't be too new to anybody. Like I said, I'm not going to go too deep into it, but what I will do is I'm going to show you that in my service bus contracts guy, I've actually created one more WCF interface. And this WCF interface is the iOrder status service. It's only got one method. That's that client identifier that we dynamically create whenever somebody submits an order, the order ID, and what the status is. And we're just going to turn around and show the user what the status is. All right? The implementation of that I've built is up here in my web project. It's order status service. And you'll see that I'm calling the SignalR global host. And this is a way that you can actually call a SignalR hub from the server side without actually being inside the hub itself. You can basically look at the web's HTTP context, find the hub, call the hub, party on the hub. All right. So this is me just saying, I want you to get the hub context of the order status hub, which I'll show you right here. It's pretty basic. Uh-oh, not images. And this is just going to be the listen for updates method. And this is the method that the client's going to call. Whenever the client page loads up, he's going to reach back out to the server and make a real-time connection back to this hub. And he's going to pass it that client ID. Now, that client ID is something that I'm just injecting through MVC, through that view model. Just a little bitty property that I'm going to inject as dynamic GUID. Dynamic GUID? A GUID. Or GUID, depending on your religious preference. Okay. Now, what I'll do here is I'll open up this sample order guy. And this is how we do this. Now, this is kind of interesting. I'll open up this hub just so I can kind of show you the deal here. Now, I'm going to new up an instance of my jQuery hub connection back to SignalR. This is just jQuery. It's all JavaScript. I'm going to create a hub proxy. And what I'm asking for is order status. You'll see right here in the hub name attribute, I've got order status. That's how it knows how to find this hub. Hub.on, status updated. Where's status updated? There's no status updated in here. If I go over to this guy and look in the order status service, I'm calling status updated right there. I'll show you how I can do that. Because that guy is a dynamic object. I can tell that guy to fire any method I want. And as long as I've handled that method in my client code, be it JavaScript or C#, or hopefully soon iOS, or Xamarin Android, I can respond to that method accordingly. So in my order status service, I'm just saying, Mr. Hub, fire the status updated method for all intents and purposes, or the event. And in my JavaScript code, I'm saying, on the firing of that method, I want you to run this code right here. And really, all I'm doing is just updating the GUI and adding some sugar to it so it'll not be so ugly. All right? Now, once I've wired up that, for all intents and purposes, event handler, I'm going to call the connection.start method, and once it's done, I want to run this functionality. And then this functionality, I'm just going to invoke the listen for updates method right here, passing it the client ID that hangs off of my view bag. So I'm basically just injecting that client ID at runtime from the MVC view. And whenever that finishes running, I'm just going to say, okay, I'm waiting here. I don't really know what to do here. I'm waiting. So you let me know whenever you want me to do something. So what I'm going to do now, pretty sure that is the same as my fifth demo. But what I'm going to do here is just open up this fifth demo. I'm pretty sure it's the same. But you'll see all that code, and this is actually exactly the same code. Just to prove it to you, what I'll do now is just show you. Here's that guy. I just made some late-breaking changes in this. Here's my sample order page where I do all the SignalR stuff. It's exactly the same. The reason that I pull that up here is, now what I'm going to do, you'll see here that in my properties, I've got this publish profiles guy. This is my publish profile for publishing this website out into Windows Azure websites. So this is the, Brady can prove it to you. So you'll see here, I've got my Enterprise Pizza website. I'm just going to click start. I want to go ahead and click the browse button because you know application on start won't run until I actually browse the website. You guys know about this, right? Okay, cool. Unless you want to go crazy and do app start stuff, which is beyond the scope of this conversation. So that's just going to fire up my website running up in Windows Azure websites, which will host my WCF service in Windows Azure websites, and set up my relay back to Service Bus. Have I submitted any orders? Nope, no orders in the database. There's my Enterprise Pizza Service Bus guy, and you'll see right there is the first service, right there is the order status service. And just to verify that I have the right project set as startup, I want to go to my solution properties, and you'll see here that I've got my internal worker app, which is the corporate app, and my pizza parlor app set to startup. I'm just going to go ahead and close down all these windows, and I'm going to hit F5. Now, this is a website running in the cloud, running in Windows Azure websites, and this is my on-prem environment right here with my database local right here. If I were to shrink this down, just to show you that the inventory stuff is still actually working in, and go ahead and turn some ingredients on and off. You can see that we are full of ingredients at this point. Now I'm going to go over here just to show you this URL one more time. You want me to open my host file? You believe me, right? Okay, cool. So I'll just hit the send button. Two pizzas, ba-bam. Bam. 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 All right, somebody in here doesn't buy it. This is when I take off the mic. Throw it down. All right, you guys like that? All right, cool. Oh, I forgot the last Doug Henning part. Data. We got data in my local database. I just pushed data to my laptop from the cloud using Service Bus. Okay, now as promised, I have one other demo that I want to show you real quickly that has nothing to do with Service Bus. Oh, darn, nobody did it. Okay, and what I'll do here is flip back over to my slides, and I want to kind of show you kind of a high level of what's possible now when we talk about rethinking identity with Windows Azure Active Directory. Now, again, this is the Vittorio show, and I'm not going to steal his thunder. By the way, stealing his thunder is completely impossible. He's like Mr. Thunder. So if you haven't ever seen one of Vittorio's talks on identity, you've got to do it. You've got to go. It's absolutely fantastic. The guy is a rocket scientist when it comes to anything identity or Active Directory related. Okay? So what I'm going to show you real quickly is that you can do on-prem if your prem is O365. Anybody use O365 out there? Because you don't want to have all those servers in your world. Okay? You just want to have all your stuff up in the cloud. Right? You can set up Visual Studio authentication so that you can authenticate against an O365 domain. It will add that stuff to your config file. And whenever you publish your app out to Windows Azure websites, you can authenticate directly against your O365 domain. So I could actually log in with my O365 account to a website hosted in Windows Azure websites. Why would I want to do that? What if I've got all this stuff in my SharePoint database, or if I've got Excel spreadsheets or whatever the case may be up there and I've got 400 users in my company that I've already got accounts for them and my O365 guy, and now I have this internal application that I want to build and host in Windows Azure websites, but only give people in my O365 domain the ability to log into it. That's what I'm talking about in this case. That's when we're talking about on-prem environment when your prem is O365. And just to point out that you can do this with real on-prem too, in this case, you can kind of do the same thing. And one of the keynotes today actually showed the new dialogues for ASP.NET. There are some new dialogues in Visual Studio 2013. I'm not running 2013 on this particular computer, so I'm not going to be able to show you those dialogues today. I did bring another computer, and I've got an interesting build of the product. So we'll just leave it at that. So I'm not going to actually show you the 2013 stuff, but I can tell you that it's a lot easier and a lot more functional because you can actually authenticate to your on-prem and everywhere. Now, what you can do in Windows Azure Active Directory is you can actually set up a directory sync so that your on-premise ADFS server can sync all of the users up and down with, you know, WAD. You can do all that stuff. I think I can get this working if I'm lucky. Nope. Can't even hit the right button. All right, so what I can do here is I'm just going to fire up. This will be a one-second demo, I promise. I'm going to fire up a new website. I'm just going to do MVC4. Hit OK here. And I'm going to go ahead and select the intranet guy. I'm going to click OK. And before I do this, just to be really, really safe, I'm going to open up Internet Explorer. I'm just going to clear all my cookies out because sometimes I have too many usernames on my computer and it freaks out the tools. I'm going to close this guy down, hit OK here, close all of this, and now I'm going to go up into here, I'm going to right-click this guy, and I'm going to say Enable Windows Azure Authentication. Now, I can tell you that the project item is exactly the same in VS 2013, and the dialogue looks the same too. Wow, intimidating, oh my. I have to tell it what? The domain name of my O365 install. Now, I've got one set up. I've got a vanity domain. There's nothing there, so feel free to hack it. You won't get anything. And I'm just going to click Enable right here. And now it's going to ask me to log in. Now, I'm going to provide it my login here. I'm going to click sign in right here. Spin. Now, what that's going to do is it's going to put a whole bunch of identity configuration madness into my web config file. And again, this dialog is like uber simple. This was like a go-between dialog between the identity and access tools and Visual Studio 2013. It looks more like this in Visual Studio 2013, but what's nice is in that file, new project experience that Hanselman showed today, you can actually click the configure auth button and party. Just do whatever you want. The guy that wrote this tool, he worked with Vittorio. He's a good friend of mine named Syed Hashimi. Syed actually did something the other day that blew my mind with the new tools. He went out to his Orcs web host, created a text record for a custom domain, went into WAD, associated his WAD account or his WAD directory with that text record URL, added a user to his WAD directory and gave it like syed@syed.com, which is, you know, whatever it is over in OrcsWeb. Then he logged in here. He actually authenticated back to that domain through WAD. And I was like, where's the user live? He said the user lives in WAD, but if you set up a directory sync, it would just pull it over. I was like, but it's a text record. He goes, I know, you can use any domain you want. So you can use any domain you want. Pretty cool. So I hit close here, and here's another gotcha. I'm going to go into my project properties, and you've got to do this, SSL enable, because you don't want to do OAuth over non-SSL, right? You want to secure this conversation, even when you're running in localhost. I'm going to copy that URL, go over here, and paste it right here. I just did a video of this for the website's GA, which happened today. Yay! I did a video of this that's actually on the Channel 9 Windows Azure area, so you can go out and look at that video. It's about 3 minutes long. It's like the fastest way to off ever. Okay, so I'm going to close that down, and I'm just going to go ahead and hit F5, no promises. This is going to pop open, and look at the first thing that happens. I get redirected to the Microsoft Online login page. Nah, I'm just kidding, just kidding. Hopefully it'll work. Hopefully my STS will be, oh, yes. Now I just logged in on localhost using my Office 365 creds. Now imagine what you can do if you've got SharePoint apps. Imagine what you can do if you've got apps for Office that you want to get out to a billion users out there. Imagine what you can do if your on-prem is in the cloud, but in our cloud, in the Microsoft O365 environment, and you don't want to have to replicate all those users because you've got a new time tracking app you have to build because you don't know what your developers are doing for fun all day. Okay, you never know. So that's how you would do this magical stuff inside of Windows Azure websites using Windows Azure Active Directory. The last thing that I'll show you here, we have a series of screencasts specific to Windows Azure websites on Channel 9. That's that first URL. These are just quick screencasts on how to do XYZ. I've got one out there on how to use the PowerShell commandlets to automate all this stuff. Subscribe, I guess is really how you say it. It's Clemens Vaster's Channel 9 show. It's pretty much all service bus all the time. It's a fantastic show. There's one show where he and Vittorio are actually talking about service bus and WAD. That's pretty good. You should check that out. There's my blog post where I kind of started this whole like integrating with your on-prem environment madness. I've just got a post out there on my blog on how to do this. It doesn't use enterprise pizza. It uses the person object, you know, the famed person object. Scott Woodgate did a really awesome talk at TechEd about 2 weeks ago that goes a little bit deeper into some of this stuff on building modern business applications with Windows Azure websites. I did a talk at the same conference that's similar to the one that we did here, but I actually added storage queues into that one as well. Had to take that demo out and kind of condense things here. And then got some other stuff, Vittorio and Clemens discussing some stuff. And again, I'm Brady Gaster on Twitter, BradyG@Microsoft.com on email. If you have any questions you want to get in touch with me, feel free to do so. If you have any questions that are just burning at you right now and you can't leave the room until you answer them, get them answered, come on up here. And thank you for staying over 2 minutes. Thanks a lot.